It's contemptible when Christians behave this way. I'm better than you, for whatever reason they may suppose themselves to have. Pouring contempt on others to make themselves feel better before the throne of God. This is what sin can do to the mind of a human being. Someone can sit in church under the word of God being preached and be indifferent about the whole thing and still want to be named amongst the righteous. How do we do these things?
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse. One day as Jesus dined in Simon the Pharisee's house, a contrite yet grateful woman poured expensive oil on the Lord and then worshipped him. Simon was appalled that Jesus allowed this woman to touch him, for she was a sinner. Pastor Rick points out that Simon's supposed piety blinded him to the fact that he too needed the Savior's forgiveness. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verse 36, as we join Pastor Rick.
Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, we will resume at verse 36. I will read verse 36 through 50. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Quite a remarkable story. We're all a part of this story. In verse 36, where he says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down." Well, the "then" is connected to his speaking very highly of John the Baptist in the previous verses. Well, right after that, one of the Pharisees then asked him to come and dine. Now, only Luke tells this story. Now, we are not told in plain terms why the Pharisee invited Jesus to eat with him. But we do know that no group of men were more consistently hostile towards Christ than the Pharisees. The envy and the cunning which characterize this sect of religious leaders leads us to be suspicious of their motives. Another Pharisee in chapter 11 will also invite him to come and dine with them, and there he will be unsparing in his denunciation of their oppressive and useless religious practices, which they were so committed to. Now, I like this Pharisee, Simon. I think that he was receptive of the lesson. I think it moved him. It certainly moves me, but not so much with the others. But back to that statement I made about Jesus, the next time he's invited to the Pharisees' house to dine, how he rips them apart. Paul commented on this type of religion that Jesus was addressing in Colossians. He said, "These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." They're impotent. They have this big show, all these rules that appeal to so many people, but they really miss it. They do not get the kingdom of God to function as it can here on earth. But not all the Pharisees were equally as bitter towards Jesus, and he was very much aware of that. And we must remember that Jesus, his motive for even accepting the invitation was that he loved the Pharisees too, as individuals, totally against their system of teaching and their behavior. But he loved the individual, and he loves Simon the Pharisee in this story that we have before us this morning just as much as he loves the woman in the story. In verse 37, Luke writes, "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil." Now, I had intended to cover this section last session that we met. It was my intention to sort of speed through this paragraph. But we did not get that far. And my motive was, well, I had recently done a topical on this section of Scripture, and if anyone were interested in my comments on that, they could refer to the topical message. But in preparing for this morning, in the days prior to this morning, how do you rush through this? This is everything to do with us, how we think, how we conduct ourselves. It has everything to do with those who are rude and obnoxious in religion, and those who are totally contrite in their heart. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, it says in verse 37. This scene, of course, is going to reveal these different personalities, the woman and the Pharisee. But when she knew, can you see the wheels turning in her head? Perhaps there was no outward expression on her face, but when Jesus is going to be in the house of the Pharisee, the wheels right away kicked into motion. Behind that was her relationship with Jesus Christ. Behind that was a life without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those two collided, and Jesus won in her heart, and she never was the same again. And the story is forever recorded for our benefit. And so here is Simon, cold, dispassionate, self-satisfied. After all, he's got all this religion. He's better than her. It's contemptible when Christians behave this way. I'm better than you, for whatever reason they may suppose themselves to have. Pouring contempt on others to make themselves feel better before the throne of God. This is what sin can do to the mind of a human being. Someone can sit in church under the word of God being preached and be indifferent about the whole thing and still want to be named amongst the righteous. How do we do these things? The woman, on the other hand, conscious of her sinful past, rejoicing in her forgiveness, and passionately, passionately doting over the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a holiday coming up. And there we will sing, "Come, let us adore him."
If you can't say that, what is wrong with you if you claim yourself to be a Christian? What belongs to Christianity is adoration for Jesus Christ. It's worship. And you know what gets in the way of that? When we forget our hard beginnings. If the day ever came for this woman, and I don't think that it did, but if it did, if the day ever came where she forgot what it means to be forgiven by God, then she would have lost her passion. But I don't think she ever forgot. She knew who she was. She knew God knew who she was. She knew that in spite of those two things, he still loved her. And whatever expression of love she had for him, his was greater for her. It says here in verse 37 that she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. That's significant for the latter part of the story. There would be another woman that would come to him with an alabaster flask. That would be Mary of Bethany. Not the same person. She would beat death to him. She would anoint him for his death. She knew something was up. She was spiritually in touch with what was going on. This sister in the Lord, and that she is to us, she remains an unnamed sinner. But her actions are unforgettable. There are quite a few Marys in Scripture. I mentioned Mary of Bethany. We'll meet another one in chapter 8, Mary Magdalene. The distinction is made by the town that they were from. Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and on it goes. Verse 38, concerning this woman, she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. I have to work to read this without weeping myself. I'm so in touch. Sister, I know where you are because I'm a brother that's there too. I know what's going on with this woman. I don't need a scholar to tell me what's happening in this scene. He is reclining on a couch, leaning on his elbow. And she is behind him. His feet are stretched out. And there she stood. This is totally Eastern in its picture. No tables like we would think. You know, he's not sitting at the table or something like that. It's a whole different scene. It says, she wiped them with the hair of her head. Well, I would have been forced to come up with another method of showing my love. She's placing her glory at his feet. That's the picture that the Bible preserves for us. We need the other parts of the Bible to really squeeze that out of the lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul speaking of the sisters, he said, but if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. It's a picture of her surrendering. Surrendering what? Self-rights. Rights to self. Something that Christians love to cling to when they're not supposed to. At key moments when they're supposed to let it go and trust the Lord, they don't do it oftentimes. Now, granted, there are different roles for the man and the woman in God's eyes, but the value of the two is equal. God loves women just as much as he loves men. And I think that it is good for men to think of the Christian women as their sisters. You would die for your sister. You'd do anything that you had to do to protect her for her benefit. You may be hoping you don't have to do it. Hope she doesn't get a flat in the middle of the night somewhere out in the boonies in the middle of the rain and call me to come fix it. But if she does, I'm there. I think it's important for our sisters to remember that the men are brothers, as clumsy as they may be. I think it helps us to remember that we have a common Father who is high and lifted up beyond all these things, and the day is going to come when we will be with him and there'll be no more junk between the two of us. And we're going to live as best we can as though we believe this. It says that she kissed his feet here in verse 38 and anointed them with fragrant oil. The contrast between his purity and her impurity was the one thing. It was the big thing. It made all the difference between this man and every other man. Because of her background, we understand that she knows something about sinful men. She knows something about sin in men. She knows something about good men who stumble in this area. This Jesus is unlike anyone she's ever met. That such a one as he would forgive such a one as her. It made it impossible for her to control her emotions. I'm sure she didn't give in completely to them. She would have been a train wreck, as we would say. She would not have been able to do anything. But she was weeping because it was coming out. Her adoration. Come, let us adore him. She came to adore him in front of everybody in someone else's house, and she really didn't care what anybody else had to say about it except the Christ. She's not being rude. She's not focusing on someone else and trying to send a veiled message to them that I don't care about you. Jesus is here. She's just totally absorbed in him. And she doesn't say a word throughout all of these actions. Her actions speak for themselves. You know, you can send signals to people that you don't like them, that you don't approve of this or that, that you hold them in contempt, a sneer, or something like that. And so, at first glance, it seems as though he's not even mindful she's there. Of course he is. And when he comes to her defense, we learn that Jesus is always mindful of those who touch him with the kind of heart that she has, male or female, big or little. Verse 39, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. This devoutly religious man could not see how God treats rank sinners who come to him. He could not understand what reconciliation with God is all about. With all of his religion, with all of his study time, with all of his knowing the Old Testament, he probably had phylacteries on his hand or his head. He still did not get it. That God would permit this sinner to touch him, he's disqualified. He can't be a prophet. A prophet would know what kind of trash this was and never allow himself to be soiled by her touching him. No, sinners still touch him. It's the only way we get right. Verse 40, and Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, say it. Teacher, say on. The Lord picked up on this. He knew what was going on. He always does. The next time you look at someone in contempt, understand, the Lord sees it. There's great motivation to not do it that way. And don't expect sinners to make this easy for you. How would you react if someone from Planned Satanhood, or Planned Parenthood as the world knows it, stood before you? I know I would say, Lord, help me to love. Because of their behavior, it's difficult. It's natural of me to have them in contempt. And the Lord says, that's right. It is natural of you, but it is not spiritual of you. And if you're going to be a spiritual man, you're going to have to rise above this stuff. And if you're going to rise above this stuff, you've got to be dependent upon me. Is this what you want with your life, Rick Gaston? Yes, Lord. That's what I want. No self-rights to me. I'm your servant and happy to be so. And so Simon's about to get this lesson. Verse 41, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. Now in this parable, God represents the lender. The woman is the big debtor. Simon is the little debtor. Any debt with God is big. And that, in other words, you don't have enough. We illustrate it all this way all the time. What does it mean to not have enough? Well, to be drowning and to swim toward shore, but to drown 50 feet off the shore. It doesn't matter if you're 1,000 feet or 10 feet. If you drown, you're dead. You didn't make it. You didn't have enough. And that's what it means to be in debt to God. No matter, you're still doomed. if you are depending upon your own resources to be right with God. Simon, in his estimation of himself, was 10 times better than this woman. Verse 42, and when they had nothing, the parable continues, Jesus speaking, with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love more? Well, that stands out, does it not? Where he says, when they had nothing which to repay. Neither one of them could get right. Simon the little debtor was still a debtor, nonetheless. Each had a quality of hopelessness about them in the presence of the one whom they owed. Remember, God is the lender in the parable. Each of them was shown favor and kindness in the story by God, who again is the lender in the story. Simon would have been making these connections slowly, perhaps, but in the end, for sure, he gets it. At what point? Not sure, but he gets it in the end. That much is clear. And this is, again, the state of mankind. Sinners owe God a debt that they can never repay. And they need a Savior. And it's the very thing that the natural man does not want to hear. Colossians chapter 2. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Have any unbelieving friends, co-workers, family members? You can say that to them. You can say, you being dead in your trespasses, that's where you are. Whether or not you're going to progress any further is up to you. Don't go blaming God. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood. In other words, it cost him his life. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't say most sin. All of it. All the debt gone by the blood of Christ. In verse 43, we have Simon's answer to the question. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Now that suppose of Simon, it betrays him, does it not? There's a touch of snobbery in that. I'll play this game. I guess that one. He doesn't know where this is going, but I think he has a suspicion. It's not going to go well for him. He's not going to land on his feet when this is all said and done. He likely thought the question was trivial in the presence of this woman. Like, you know what? I've lost you. I'm not even listening to you. If you let her touch you, what lesson could you possibly teach me? How do you get those people that, as a pastor, they come to church and you start speaking, you say something that they about a sin they cherish. They have no intention of giving it up. They may even think it's right. But you've slammed it. Oh, brother. Now they're not even tuned you out. When is this thing going to be over? I had to give them a piece of my mind. And on it goes. Well, that's probably where Simon was with this. And so here he reluctantly plays along, verse 44. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Now again, here, when it says he turned to the woman, it tells us that he was very mindful of her. He never lost contact with her. That he certainly was impressed, not unimpressed, by her outpouring of love. And he was saving it up. In these few minutes, this whole thing is going on. We have Christ do this in our own lives. He saves things up to use them later. And we think he's forgotten. We think he's not there. We think he's not answering our prayers. He's there. He's paying attention. So he comes to her defense. Anyone who touches Christ touches his heart. Touches in this way, of course. There are those that try to touch him from a position of hostility, and that's not who we have in mind at the moment.
You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As we mentioned at the beginning of today's broadcast, today's teaching is available free of charge at our website. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. We'd also like to encourage you to subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing ensures that you stay current with all the latest teachings from Pastor Rick. You can subscribe at crossreferenceradio.com or simply search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. Join us next time as Pastor Rick continues teaching through the Gospel of Luke, right here on Cross Reference Radio.